flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. It's January 28th, 2025. Just after 2 o'clock, we welcome you in to our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard in D.C. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Austin Eckler will be on the program live with us at 5 o'clock today. Make sure you're listening for our final appointment, I believe, this season with Austin Eckler, presented by IT Cadre. Daniel, how are you?
I'm well, my friend. I watched Wizards last night. Not much sports on. They came in second to the Mavericks. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're six and a billion. I don't care.
They came in second by a lot.
They did. They're down by 35, I think, in the first half at one point. Klay Thompson went nuts in the first quarter, hit seven threes, which, by the way, is absurd. He cooled off the rest of the game, but was, you know, basically the damage was done, and that was the ballgame. Whenever I see Klay Thompson, most specifically, just annihilate my Wizards, I can't help but think, remember back to that 2011 draft where so many really good NBA players were on the board for a veteran team that was still doing the big three bit and had some chances to be okay. Everyone from Kawhi Leonard to Klay Thompson to the Morris Twins to Kemba Walker to Kenneth Faried, who played in the NBA for a while. Just real, actual NBA players. Jimmy Butler went in that draft. I'll go on. Jan Vesely. That's all. It just bothers me again. Just a reminder that that was allowed and that was okay around here for a long, long time. Way longer than it should have been.
Capitals in action tonight. Play the Calgary Flames on the road. Their five-game road trip continues. Caps are the best team in hockey, and they are celebrating a new contract for their goaltender, Logan Thompson.
I love this, by the way.
6-year extension, little under $6 million. 27-year-old netminder who is statistically this year probably the number two goalie in the National Hockey League. So big deal for them to get a big deal done with Thompson. I'd imagine last night he and some of his mates went out and celebrated on the road with a nice steak dinner.
Yeah, as good as you can find in Calgary, in the land way up north. Having spent weeks in Calgary, there's not much there, but I'm sure you can find a steak joint.
They got steaks there, don't they?
Yeah, I got a couple.
I bet you they have restaurants in Calgary.
They do. There's a lot of Timmy Hortons. Every 50 feet, you get another one.
Maybe they went and got some donuts at Timmy Hortons.
At Timmy Hortons? You know better than I would. How much of this has Logan Thompson showed in the past? Like, has there been flashes, or has it been like, this is a star and he needs the opportunity?
So he's having a career year, but he's never had a goals against average that started with a three. I mean, he's been a really good goalie for a team that was very good for a long time. So I think this is authentic. They're playing really good, clean defense in front of him.
I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's excellent. So good contract for the Capitals to get done. Now let's sign Jacob Chychrun, please, and thank you. You know I am a sucker for a lot of things.
Yes.
What's one of the things that I am just a mark for this time of year in sports?
Oh, in sports?
You might not get this.
Okay.
But what, like, if something's on the TV, I've got to stop and watch
sports award shows.
Well, I love those. I'm looking for the introductory press conference.
You do love introductory press conferences.
You don't know what I did last night. I went back and watched all four NFL introductory press conferences. Ben Johnson in Chicago. Liam Cohen, who's a bit of a goofy guy, by the way. With the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Adam Gase called and he said, good job.
Brian Schottenheimer with the Dallas Cowboys. Aaron Glenn, who killed it, I thought, with the New York Jets. Probably had the best of all the introductory press conferences.
Best promo.
But my wife at different points is like, who are you listening to? I'm like, Liam Cohen. She's like, who's that? It's like, oh, he just got hired to be the Jags head coach from the Bucks OC role. She's like, why are you listening to that? I just wanted to watch introductory press conferences, man. I'm a big fan. So I watch the opening statements and then all the Q&A and see how each team handles it. And do you have to pass the mic? Do you have to state where you're from? I just love it.
You right? do love that.
I bring this up to tell you. The Dallas Cowboys press conference for Brian Schottenheimer. I don't know how to put this in a way that is like not inappropriate.
I think you just put it. Just put it. You and me talking.
I think if I was a Cowboys fan, I would be so crestfallen, not just by this hire, but by the fact that my owner might be losing his marbles, you know, in a sense. Like, Jerry Jones was asked the first question after the opening comments from Schottenheimer and his little speech that he gave thanking everyone that he knows and whatever else. And a guy that we have on the show, Darius has booked a couple times, Calvin Watkins, who covers the Cowboys in Dallas, asked Jerry, why did you choose Brian Schottenheimer? That's literally the question. It was just like that. Why did you choose Brian Schottenheimer? Jerry spoke for 11 and a half minutes without really talking about why he chose Brian Schottenheimer that much. It was a lot about Jerry Jones.
Well, there's stuff about me here.
He was arguing with like Twitter trolls and these people. I don't know if they exist in real life or not, but just like the, he was arguing against the general narratives about it being a bad hire and him not wanting to be a guy that anybody works for. And like, it was, I mean, you see this with politicians sometimes where they'll just vamp for 15 minutes about nothing and you're going, what in the hell are you talking about?
The Twitter trolls are the backbone of, yeah.
That's what this was. It was just an old man rambling and meandering.
I love it.
11 minutes.
Great.
11 minutes to not answer a question. And I'm going, this person should not be running anything. Anything. Not an Arby's, not a radio station, not a company that sends puzzles to people.
Oh, I love it.
If you're a Cowboys fan and you watch that, good. I don't know how you could possibly think anything other than
good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is over until something major changes in this ownership group. I don't know what to tell you other than it was comical.
Oh, it makes me so happy. I love it. Now, here's the thing. I still think they're annoying and they're not going to be total pushovers.
No, they won't be bad.
Yeah, they never seem to bottom out the way that I want. I want like Giants type run of ineptitude for them for the next 1,000 years.
Franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And while Brian Schottenheimer has no business being a head coach and is just a fairly pedestrian, you know, offensive coordinator, he's very popular, has great relationships. His father's one of the great coaches of all time.
The name matters.
They're going to build a pretty good staff. He's popular with players, I think. People like him. He builds good relationships. Like, it's not going to be Jim Zorn, right? Like, this unqualified boob of a hire. That's not really what this is. But does it handcuff you from trying to advance and get better? Probably. I mean, are you better off with Brian Schottenheimer than Mike McCarthy? Of course you're not.
No.
How could anyone say that's the case? But to me, that's not even the point. The point is just we have reached a point with Jerry Jones where he's like the guy down the street that like, oh no, if you see him in the grocery store, run away. Because he's going to be talking about weird ass for 5 minutes.
I mean, he's doing a Jerry Jones impression at this point. Like, you know, he's crossed into caricature. Like, before it was, you know, he just prattled on about that dish because there's gum on your shoe, don't make it sticky. You're like, I don't really get that, but that's fine. Now, to your point, he's addressing demons that aren't even there. You know what I mean? Like, somebody trolled him on Twitter, somebody passed him a sheet that said, this guy says you're an idiot. Said, well, there's an IQ of 177 sitting right here wearing a suit named Jerry. You know, like, what are you doing?
Like, I do this sometimes, very rarely, but I do it occasionally, where I find myself arguing against like a couple of tweets, but on the radio, and it's right. Like living in my head. Or just generally, you know what the perception is, and so you're arguing against that. You'll do this sometimes,
of course,
I'm like,
yeah, everybody.
We don't need to address one guy who said, I'm sorry that the one guy didn't like your impression.
Right.
Let's move on. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what his whole press conference was. Was just like the narratives that bother him, and him just like, Jerry, what's your favorite ice cream? You know, people will tell me that I can't be worked with, and 7 minutes later, He's talking about the time in 1979 that he bought an oil company and worked with people. And it's like, this is not.
Yeah, show the YouTube comment from Cowboys for the Win, that number four in there. He said, what?
Also, the Liam Cohen hiring. I think this is going to be the experiment that I need. So you know me. Mm-hmm. I am team hire the offensive-minded guru. I don't care if he's a leader of men. I don't care about brotherhood. I don't care, you know. And like Dan Quinn's the opposite of this, and you see that he just did this unbelievable, amazing job with this team, and we'll see if they can build on it and keep pushing forward. But it looks like great staff, great foundation, like everybody won. Congratulations. My thing is, get me the play caller to make my quarterback really good, and the rest of it will take care of itself as we're scoring a lot of points. That's kind of my theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's about to get tested.
Yeah.
Because this Liam Cohen guy is a goose.
That's a squirrely odd duck right there.
But he can call offense.
Yes, he can. The proof is in the pudding over there in Tampa.
I mean, he is a dude in terms of scheming. And I was talking to Logan in Tampa, actually, before that game. And like Logan was so blown away after studying them for a week or two by some of the concepts and things he'd been doing. He's like, this is really high level, like good football stuff. Like, Logan, I think, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but kind of wanted to study it more and kind of get into some of the run game stuff that Liam was doing. I mean, he is very sharp. I don't know if we're putting him in the savant category yet, but he's on that path.
He's on the way.
But, boy, is he a silly goose.
Yeah, they went from one of the worst rush offenses we have to, like, there's no point in us even trying to run the ball to one of the best.
Yes.
In a year.
In a season.
Yeah.
But then he walks into the building, and there's no aura. There's no, well, what do the kids call it? There's no Riz. You know, this person can't, the conversations are awkward. And I don't know how much that matters. Remember we were joning on Jonathan Gannon for his embarrassing first few hours as the Cardinals coach, and it turns out he's a pretty good football coach. Or like Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, he had one of the worst opening pressers ever.
Sirianni's opening presser should go into the Hall of Fame. Of like, this is the funniest, most unacceptable introductory presser that's ever happened. And that guy's going to his second Super Bowl in, what, three seasons?
Yeah.
This year. So I don't know how much any of this matters, but this is a great experiment for me. Like, can he fix Trevor Lawrence? Did the Jaguars start making sweet music on offense with Brian Thomas and their running backs? Because if so, then respectfully to the brotherhood stuff, you just need to be able to design offense. But this is, I'm putting a lot of eggs in this basket.
I was going to say, yeah.
Of like, and maybe it's not the end-all, be-all. It's one guy in a place where nobody wins because the owner's a joke. But I'm going to use this as my experiment of, like, can a guy...
It's your canary right down in that coal mine that's going Duval.
He is the opposite of the leader of men.
Yes, he is.
He just... What's a leader of men look like? Not this guy.
Not that guy.
But he will draw up some offense.
Yes.
So let's see what happens.
Let's see what wins the tug of war.
Right.
Are you leading men or are you drawing up things on napkins and having weird team meetings?
And I am open to changing my opinion.
Okay.
Like, if some offensive minds get these gigs and fall on their face because they just can't run a room or whatever, that's fine. But my current track record is I've been around Matt LaFleur for a long time. Matt LaFleur is a great dude and one of the hardest workers you'll ever meet who knows ball. He's not a rah-rah, every guy in the building is going to want to run through a wall for him. He just wins 12 games every year and the Packers are in the mix. Mike McDaniel's a nerdy dude from an Ivy League who, you know, wears his pants funny. But he draws up offense.
Yes, he does.
Let's see if Liam Cohen can make sweet music. But that presser was, like, legit funny. My wife, Kevin, kept going over, like, she was just hearing it on my phone.
Like, what is this?
And she's like, this guy's a head coach? I'm like, yep, as of today. We'll see how long.
Because it's so funny, because, like, I know not to dwell on it, but it's the only place where that kind of thing's acceptable. Does that make any sense? Like you're such a genius. I guess I'm sure there are a few other places. Like the rocket scientist doesn't have to be good at the mic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're such a genius, we can overlook these glaring and obvious weaknesses that everybody associates with good leaders.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're clearly not good at it at all. That's not a crime. There's a lot of people that aren't good at it. But man, you're extra bad at it. And you're gonna have to do this all the time. You're gonna talk to people.
So let me rank my introductory press conferences for you.
So Aaron Glenn's the one seed. That's obvious. He's a defensive coordinator. He's going to talk about violence and attacking and aggression and downhill. And we're not going to be for everybody. And we'll leave people bloody and battered.
He's not full Joe Witt. Like, he doesn't have a lot of slogans or anything. Definitely number one, though.
The New York bleeping Jets?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
buddy.
He had this, like, great line where he's like, we're the New York Bleeping Jets. Uh-huh. And when that S needs to mean something. And I'm like, I'm not a curse guy at the podium. Like when J.J. Redick did it, it wasn't cool. I'm not a fan of it, but it was a good line.
Yeah, it does mean something. Just not what you want it to.
Right.
Yeah, it means something.
I think I'm going to give Ben Johnson number two.
Okay.
I'm going to give...
Because Johnson's was unoffensive. I mean, he had the one joke that fell flat about Matt LaFleur. Maybe they're buddies, and that was why...
No, they don't know each other at all. Oh. It was actually just weird. He, like, trolled Matt LaFleur.
Mm.
Which is an odd thing to do.
Huh.
But you know where that's going to go over well is probably in the Bears building, because Matt LaFleur is the coach of the Packers.
Of the Packers, sure. Yeah.
So I think he's just trying to win over the fan base. I would put Schottenheimer three. He was pretty good, actually. I don't believe a word he says about, like, I'm going to bring you a championship, and I'm the best guy for the job, and... It's all adorable. Like you're one of 32, and
that
I don't know
how
that's a thing. But he was pretty good. And then Liam Goan is a distant fourth, I will say. It's kind of where I'm at this point.
I think that's fair.
Haven't seen Pete Carroll's yet. I think that was yesterday.
I know we had a lot going on.
Yeah.
This whole our team was in the NFC Championship game. But Pete Carroll, dude. 71? Pete Carroll? That's Pete Carroll. Not the guy from USC 20 years ago. That's Pete Carroll.
Age is to some extent just a number. Like, there are sharp...
That's an energetic 71.
...old people, and there are old people that seem old, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a really sharp, young, old guy. And he's 73, by the way. That's old.
73.
My father is 73. Now, my dad is in a good enough spot that he could coach a football team. I mean, if he was a football coach.
Right, if he was.
Who knew about football. Mm-hmm. Like, to be clear, the Saints should not hire my dad. He would not help you.
Is your dad a candidate for the Saints job?
Absolutely. I think everybody is at this point.
Right.
Because who wants that job?
It's an open interview process.
But Pete Carroll's a young 73. You know who else is 73? Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best coach in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care about age necessarily. But don't ask me to get excited when you tell me Pete Carroll's my head coach in 2025. You can hire him.
Right.
And you can tell him to bring his mop to clean up the mess, because it is a mess. And for 3 years, he could elevate my tide to being not a joke.
Yeah, you know what's coming in. You know what's coming. I need a couple big physical corners. We're going to hold you at the line. We're going to play the Pete Carroll defense. We're going to have Will Ferrell come in and do a couple preseason promos for us.
We're going to run the dang ball.
Yeah.
Just don't ask me to be excited about Pete Carroll. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
How confident are you guys that the Commanders can run this season back, which is to say, what's your level of confidence they'll be back in an NFC Championship game over the next couple of years? That's where we want to start the show today. Their 2025 schedule is going to be arduous. They're leveling up from last place to second place, and they're playing some brutal divisions, right? I mean, so often, when you look at the best divisions in football, like this year, the NFC North and the AFC West, they played the two worst divisions in the sport. So were those division records and three playoff teams from each excellent because the teams were just that good? Or were they beneficiaries of playing the weakest divisions? I think it's a chicken or the egg debate, and it's interesting to think about. Washington's going to be playing the NFC North, and Washington's going to be playing the AFC West, the divisions that had the three playoff teams this coming year. You obviously get your home and away with the division, Dallas, New York, and Philly. And then, Danny, they host the Seahawks, nearly a playoff team. The Bears will be one of the most improved teams in the league probably next year. The Broncos, a playoff team. The Raiders, with Pete Carroll, will be a tougher out than they were this year. And the Lions come to Landover. Should be one of the better teams in the NFC again.
Again, yeah.
Maybe they take a step back, but they'll still be a playoff team. The road schedule includes at Lambeau Field, playoff team that should be back in the playoffs. At the Chiefs, is Arrowhead a fun place to go play?
No, sir.
At the Chargers, cross country, playoff team.
Playoff team.
At the Vikings.
Playoff team.
Number two team in the NFC this year. At the Falcons. That is a game. Atlanta's going to be a fringe playoff team in the South, but that's a game, I would say, of all of the ones that we're naming, that's, you know, you could see Washington giving them the what for. And then the Dolphins on the road in Miami. Fringe playoff team. They don't have one game on the road outside of the division that is against a team that you go into next year thinking is a last place type team. It's going to be really hard for them to do this again. And I say this all the time about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It is easier to write the first bestseller than the second. being great for a year, 2012 Washington, seven straight wins or whatever, the repeating of it is the difficult thing. The beauty of this opportunity for Washington, I think, Danny, is that you got Jaden Daniels. And if Daniels is as good as it looks like he is, if he is potentially elite and top of the league type QB status, then year over year, your schedule's not going to matter that much because you got the answer key, which is Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar. If Daniels is of that ilk, then you're just going to roll out the football and win 11 or 12 every year.
If that's the case, if you don't have the CJ Stroud mild regression, because you know, it's not as if he fell off the face of the earth and became terrible, but he had one of the great rookie seasons of all time. At the time, it was thought of as one of the best. And Houston was fine this year. They won a playoff game, got exactly right back to where they were. But everyone saw them as they're now eyeball to eyeball with Buffalo and Kansas City and the elites of the AFC. And they had kind of a disappointing year by the standard that was set. Everyone's going to look to Washington in a similar facet, to be honest with you, maybe more so. They got to the NFC Championship game in year one of this thing. Imagine what they'll do in year two. And if you're not a Super Bowl team, everyone's going to view it as, what a disappointment. And all the shouty shows will be doing the what's wrong with Washington and what happened to Jaden Daniels and what happened to this great offense. Even though it's just, you know, a different year, different squad, different injury luck, different opponents. You know, maybe you don't get the Hail Mary, so you're a game worse. Maybe, you know, the field goal doesn't go in off the upright and you're a game worse. I mean, a million things can happen. You could be better talent-wise and end up with fewer wins. That happens year over year in this league where everyone's designed to basically be 500.
Well, I'm positive they'll have more talent. I think this was the least talented team they'll have during Daniel's rookie contract years because they're going to go out, they're going to spend money, they're going to upgrade, and they're going to draft effectively. But to your point, that is not what equates to more wins, obviously. The other thing is you just don't know about injuries, where the only legitimate star-type player that got hurt this year for an extended period of time was John Allen, at a point, frankly, where he wasn't playing that well anyway. He came back and helped them a bunch after that. But their best players, thank goodness, guys like Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin and Sam Cosmi until the final quarter of the Detroit game and then the game that they lost in the NFC title game. Their stars mostly were healthy. That's not guaranteed next year either. I have hope that they can just run it back and be back in the mix, not just next year, but for the years ahead, and that this is the beginning of this window, not just a one-off because of Daniels. But I think that's kind of the whole key here. Mm-hmm. But let's open up the phones and see what people think. 800-636-1067. You guys know how hard it is to get to an NFC Championship game. What is your level of confidence that Washington's going to be in another one over the next few seasons here with Daniels in his young years of his career? G&D on the fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Still reeling from the Commanders giving up 55, a record amount of points scored in the conference championship game. But I don't know where you're at, Danny. Yesterday you were having a harder time with it than me. As soon as the game had ended, I was able to compartmentalize and feel good about the season and the journey and consider it all a gigantic win. I will say it stings a little bit today to see that 44.2 million people tuned in to watch the game, and that there was a peak of 50.3 million viewers between 5:30 and 5:45. That many people watching Washington get exposed for their flaws and get, frankly, just outclassed by the Eagles in Philly doesn't feel very good to hear. You kind of want those games to just happen in the 1 o'clock window with 8 other games on. Standalone in the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, they saw that, didn't they?
Everybody's watching.
They saw that 32-point destruction, 33, whatever the number is. Yeah, so my answer to this is going to sound very negative and pessimistic, and I know everyone's going to laugh and make fun or you know, joke on me, but the point is it's hard. Detroit was awesome. They didn't get here because Washington beat them. But you know what I mean? Like Philadelphia, you know, Minnesota. What did Minnesota do wrong? They're excellent. They won 14 games. It's really, really, really hard. It's what makes me appreciate that much more. Dynasties like the Chiefs, dynasties like the Patriots went on, and now again, I hope they lose for the next 1,000 years, but they went on them. Despite personnel changes and everything, there were a couple constants that worked so much better than everybody else's. They were able to constantly go to those AFC title games and to the Super Bowl as the Chiefs are doing right now. But getting your key players, GM, coach, quarterback, and ancillary stars kind of around that, correct, have unbelievable health luck, and again, the onside kick goes your way, or the field goal bounces in, or of course you win that 17th straight close game like the Chiefs are doing. It's damn near impossible to do what just happened. Again, ask the Lions. So my answer is I'm not confident, but it doesn't mean they're going to fall off the table and be terrible. I think they could be really, really good again next year. I bet you they will be. I bet you nobody wants to see them on the schedule. When they're doing the, hey, the schedule came out, where are the tough games? Washington's going to be listed when they're doing radio in Detroit, when they're doing radio in Kansas City. That's all I can ask for. But the idea that, oh, they'll just be back here again, I think we're underestimating how hard it is.
Yeah, you're not scheduling your alumni homecoming game against Washington anymore. You are no longer circling that one as a win. When every market's radio show in the morning does their junkies thing where they go through in March or April or whatever, and they go win, loss, loss, win. The Commanders are no longer just a W. And that is massive progress, and that's awesome. But that also doesn't mean you get to go back to the NFC Championship game, to your point. Now, the example I'll give is the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
How great are the Bills? The Bills have won at least 11 and as many as 13 games every single year for six straight years. Think about that.
Yeah.
So what Washington just did this year is kind of the average Bills season over the last 6 years. They've only been to two conference title games. They've been to zero Super Bowls. Now, they have the unfortunate circumstance of sharing a conference with Patrick Mahomes, which Washington doesn't have to deal with. But right now, the Eagles are the team version of that, where that's the most talented, well-built team in the league, and you got to share a division with them. But there's lots of examples like that. The Patriots, for so many years, just woke up and played in the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs are a better, more accurate version of that now. They're doing what New England never did. They're going to a fifth Super Bowl in 6 years. They've been in seven conference championship games in a row. If you have Allen, if you have Mahomes, if you have Lamar Jackson, you're going to be in the playoffs every year. You're going to be in the conference championship game every couple of seasons. And it certainly seems like maybe Jaden Daniels could be that. And so my answer to the question is that simple. If you want to ask me what is my level of confidence that Washington will be playing in another conference title game over the next few seasons, I would say, is Jaden Daniels going to be what he was this year? Was this an excellent season that caught the league off guard? And then there's some kind of like natural step back coming, CJ Stroud? Then probably not. If this is who Daniels is, though, see you guys in the NFC Conference Championship game next year and the year after. Because like I use Joe Burrow as my example.
Mm-hmm.
The Bengals were historically bad defensively. Terrible on special teams. Missed a bunch of field goals that could have tied or won them games this year. And they still, in Week 18, were playing for the playoffs as Joe Burrow was an MVP candidate because he's that damn good. That's what having a superstar quarterback does. You just never have terrible seasons. The other question with Daniels is he going to stay healthy and just play 16, 17 games every year? Which I still have some anxieties about, although turn that fader down since the beginning of the year because we saw him get up from all the hits over and over and over again and take care of his body decently. Let's go to Slims in D.C. What's up, man? How are you?
What's up, fellas? How y'all feeling today? Hail to the Redskins.
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
Hey, before I ask this, let me ask you a question. Who is the actual defensive coordinator for the Redskins?
Joe Witt Jr. calls the plays.
So that's the blind dude in the booth, right?
Blind?
He'll cover his eyes all the time, right? Okay, so let me tell you like this.
I don't get it. Are you joking about their defense?
Every time I see him, he got his eyes covered, like he's not seeing what's going on.
Gotcha.
I think people know what I'm saying. But it's based on four things, I think. You need a defensive coordinator immediately. Because what you just read on that schedule, if we got to play that, we ain't stopping nothing. Number two, got to get Cliff Kingsbury up out of here because I think everybody went to his game. I actually think Jaden Daniels saved him and made him look good. You get a number one wide receiver in here to go with McClain and a solid defensive tackle, and then my hope will be good. But the two main things is an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. You need that offensive coordinator so Jaden can grow. Jaden, we can't do those plays. We got to have a basic, solid running game. I believe we could have beat Philly. I don't think they were stopping us on offense. So I don't think you really need to tweak that. But that defense, both that coordinator should not have been riding on the same plane with the team. That's straight up.
Thank you for the call, buddy. So to be clear, he wants to get rid of the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator after a 14-win season when the team got to the NFC Championship game in the first year of both of those two guys in the building when they had a top-10 offense and Cliff Kingsbury just helped Jaden Daniels turn in the greatest rookie season that's ever happened. Is that all check out for what he just said?
But then at one point, I think we want to not tweak the offense, but we need a running game, and we could have beat Philadelphia. I don't know, but I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, the defense needs improving. I don't know that it means that Joe Witt has to go. I probably need a larger sample where I trusted more than a handful of players on that defense to be able to run and tackle and be in good spots. I don't know that Joe Witt's a genius. I feel like I saw enough from Cliff Kingsbury to go, I may have some gripes individually among drives or games or a couple things where I'm going, damn, I wish this was slightly differently, but at least there's a rhyme and reason to it. I'm not saying that Joe Witt's a slam dunk, but out after a year, I think that's probably a bit too extreme.
So a defensive line that I'm looking out at during the championship game with Sheldon Day and Jalen Holmes and Cleland Farrell, right? And a secondary where your corners were a guy who's got a banged up hamstring who's learning your defense, who just got here, and a rookie that was supposed to be playing in the nickel who's now on the boundary. That's my defensive personnel at key positions against the most talented team in the conference. And you want to blow out the coordinator. That's a no for me, dog. That'll be a no for me. Let's go to Dex, or Dez, I guess, in D.C. What's up, Dez?
What's up with y'all, man?
Hey, man.
Sometimes y'all just got to, with them other callers, y'all just got to cut them off early because I don't know what the heck he was
talking about. I try to give everybody at least 45 seconds. That one was tough, though, I'll be honest. We okay, earned that you. One. We're like, do we really want to keep
listening? Is that where we're going?
Where are we going?
Because I'm like, what is he talking about, man? Like, but, you know, I digress. Okay, I got two quick things. One, I don't really like when people be comparing him to the C.J. Stroud. Yeah, he had a down year or whatever, but you got to think at the same time, C.J. had his wide receivers coming in and out, and he's not really explosive when it comes to running. He can run, but he's not explosive. Mm-hmm. He's a good thrower of the ball, but he's not great. He's not Joe Burrow or Pat Mahomes. I honestly think Jaden, when it comes to actual ball placement, he's better than C.J. So with those two things, I think he can have a better second year than C.J. But the third thing is the main question. My confidence is very high for us coming back. When you look around the NFC, I mean, Stafford's going to be another year older. Cooper Kupp's going to be another year older. Everything's going to be on Puka Nacua. The 49ers, they either got to pay Brock Purdy or don't pay him and then lose him. Dak is costing $90 million. The Cowboys are cooked. Who else? Cowboys are cooked.
That's actually a really good point. When you run through, I'll just go through the playoffs, right? The Lions, I would say, arrow trending down. They lose both coordinators. They're losing a bunch of assistants.
Still very much a threat, but yeah, you would think they're not quite as
dominant. Oh, yeah,
dominant.
That's a playoff team, but that's not a 15-2 team next year, great. In my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one seed. I think the Eagles are sustainably built to be really good for a long time,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, in your own division. Tampa Bay just lost their OC for the second time in 2 years. I think that's a team that could take a small step back. They're also a little bit older defensively. Guys like Lavonte David, some of the things that have been going on that side of the ball, piecing it together, Mike Evans, right? I could see them taking a step back. They will get Godwin back. The Rams, Matt Stafford, older, banged up a lot. This was one of the rare years where he stayed healthy. I think that's a good point. I would go, if you're going binary, arrow up, arrow down, I would say stock down on the Rams in the next season. There's no way the Vikings are going to repeat 14-3. Also, they turn things over probably to a rookie, essentially, in second-year quarterback who's never played.
J.J.
McCarthy. So maybe arrow down there. I would say Packers probably arrow up. Because Love wasn't healthy all of this season. That's a really good team. But, you know, you got to account for the teams that'll be getting better, too. I think Chicago's going to be a giant pain in the ass to deal with this year with Ben Johnson. Let's see what happens with the Arizona Cardinals, who've been a tough team to play. You know, they were 8-9. Maybe they're a 10-win team next year. Atlanta, if Michael Penix balls out. Cousins struggled some this season. You know, they have a whole offseason to go out and address a lack of pass rush and a bad defense. They could be a 10-11-win team. Seattle with, you know, now a second year of a head coach. Maybe they sort out quarterback or do something there offensively with weapons. So as many teams there are that step down, there's going to be teams that step up,
that fill the void, yeah. The other point I liked real quick is the floor, to me, is higher for Jaden Daniels because of what he just said. That running ability. When all else fails, you're not having a good day throwing the ball, which, by the way, happens in this league. I'll take my 75, 80 yards rushing to supplement it, right? I mean, that is a factor, that is a thing that I think prevents some of the fall off.
He's the second best running quarterback in football. behind Lamar.
Yep.
You're going to have
pretty
that
good company to be in, yeah.
Club in the bag when you need it. 800-636-1067. How confident are you that Washington can get back to the championship game in the NFC at some point in the next couple of years, as hard as it is to do? You're listening to The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We're taking you up to 6:30 on this Tuesday. Austin Eckler stops by at 5 o'clock. We do have a Beltway Blitz for you at 4 o'clock today. Spin you around town on the teams you care the most about. Talking about Washington and whether or not the Commanders will be able to get back to the NFC Championship game in the near future. Schedule's going to get harder. The other thing is, Danny, and I think this is reality, sounds like a, you know, an eye roll kind of, oh, okay, well, that really doesn't matter. But I think it is tough. There is a big difference between the year where you jump up on people and now next year where you get everybody's best shot. You were talking about how, you know, the schedule comes out in forever. You're playing the Commanders, so occasionally, you know, a team might play down to you, or they might bring their B or their C game because they know that's enough to still win. You're now a 14-win team that advanced to the championship weekend round that is going to pick 28th in the draft, right? Only three teams are going to pick in the first round after you. You were in the final four. You're going to get everybody's best shot next year. That makes it even harder, forgetting just that the schedule is super arduous.
So I do think there's something to that, maybe not as much as others. I guess the point to me, though, is it is a marquee game now when you're on the other team's schedule.
Speaking of which, how many primetime games next year?
Minimum five. I guess probably more than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think five is a good guess.
Because you think about some of their opponents. I mean, that Kansas City game's in primetime. Tell you that right now. Maybe when they go to L.A. and it's Justin Herbert and the Chargers and Harbaughing everywhere. I'm sure one of the divisional games will be in primetime. I mean, they'll be on a bunch. So it becomes that much more pronounced. It's the feather in your cap win if you beat the NFC championship game team, right? I mean, that matters more. That becomes a measuring stick. The same way it's a huge deal when Washington beats Philadelphia. It's a huge deal when they beat Detroit, not just to go to the NFC title game, but you just beat the one seed. Like, stuff like that matters for sure.
You mentioned the Lions earlier in the hour. Think about Detroit.
And they're kind of my example for this.
Detroit was built so well to win it all this year. They got dismantled defensively by injuries, and I think that's the biggest reason why what happened happened. They also had a game where they turned the ball over five times, and those sometimes jump up on you. You got Jared Goff'd a little bit. He turned the ball over four times. Hopefully, your guy's better than that. It would be hard to imagine Jaden Daniels ever turning the ball over four times in a five-turnover game. But Washington fumbled randomly. They got fumbleitis. And to the Eagles' credit, they were punching the ball out. It was kind of them creating the fumbles. It wasn't just Washington whoopsie-daisying the ball all over the place. But you just saw three fumbles, four turnovers for Washington. It happens, man. You think San Francisco at the beginning of this year would have believed you if you said the 49ers wouldn't have made the playoffs and it would have been just a debacle of a season? But you have enough injuries, and it doesn't matter how well you're built. Nothing's guaranteed. It's just so hard, unless you're the Chiefs. And you have Reed and Mahomes, and I guess nothing matters. But it's just so hard to be one of the last teams standing. Brandon Waldorf, how are you?
Great, guys, great. My level of confidence is actually through the roof. I see it way different than a lot of people see it, I'm guessing. For me, it's I don't want to hear about, oh, we need a defense coordinator. He came in with scraps and made a five-star meal. You remember they cut the roster went from 50 guys on the roster to 20. You know, you came in and you were basically just stocking the cupboard. You know, getting your basics, your salt, your pepper. You didn't go get your exquisite ingredients yet. We have the second highest amount of cap space, and we got decent draft picks, and we have decent players. So we have something to build upon. I can see it's only getting better. So I definitely feel highly confident that we will be back in the NFC Championship game for the next few years.
So my only response to that is, I agree with every word you just said. Now, my acknowledgement is the environment makes it that much harder. I think they'll be a better team on paper next year, the year after that, than they are right now this minute. On paper, they were not a team in the NFC title game. They weren't. There's no way to me they were the second best team in the NFC. If you started the season tomorrow with everybody's personnel the same, they'd come back and turn in a record that's worse than Detroit's, worse than Minnesota's, worse than Philadelphia's, maybe worse than a couple other teams.
I'll go one step further. If you just right now call up all the teams in the NFC and you go, hey, we're going to restart the playoffs. We're pushing back the Super Bowl. Same seeding, same matchups. Washington, you're at Tampa Bay in a week on Sunday. And you just run the whole thing back. They probably don't get to the NFC Championship game. Maybe they do. But how confident are you? How much money are you putting to put down in a toss-up game that they won on a doink field goal, that they go to Tampa Bay and win, right? That they go to Detroit and have that game. A lot of things just have, the stars have to align. If the 2019 Nats had to restart the playoffs right when the final out of the World Series was recorded, they probably don't win that championship. Now, luckily, that's not how it works. But my point is just, yeah, that caller could be right, and we know they're going to be more talented, and that doesn't necessarily guarantee you anything. Let's do this next. 800-636-1067. Good feedback on the phones on this. What can the team do to ensure their best opportunity at getting back? Whether that means priorities into the offseason, what they need to address. Like, if you're the Hogs, if you're Peters and Quinn, what that you control needs to be tended to here early this offseason and into the player acquisition period to make sure that you've got the best shot to get back to the NFC Championship game of the things they control. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.